Hi, everybody. Welcome to Mailin' It, the official podcast of the United States Postal Service. I'm Dale Parsan. We're going to switch things up a bit for this episode. Normally, our conversations with Postal Service leaders give you an inside look at some of our big picture priorities, like preparing for the holiday rush or how we're keeping the Delivering for America plan on track. This episode, we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction and talk with one of the hundreds of thousands of postal employees across the country who make sure the mail gets delivered to every address across the country. Mail carriers are a special part of any community. I know it's cliche, but they really are out there in all kinds of weather, rain or shine, making sure their deliveries are made. We see our mail carriers out doing their jobs almost every day, but what is that job really like and why do they do it? It's demanding work. And as we'll hear, delivering the mail is only part of the job. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that most people aren't aware of. Davita Lawrence has been a mail carrier since 2020. She's here in the studio with me today to talk about her job and share some experiences about delivering mail in Washington, D.C.'s Brentwood neighborhood. Welcome to Mailin' It, Davita.
Thanks for having me.
Davita, tell me, how did you come to work for the Postal Service?
I came to the post office after the pandemic hit. I worked for DCPS Schools for 13 years as a security officer. Once the pandemic hit, they let us go. And I decided that I needed a job that was more stable, something that if anything like this ever happened again, then, you know, I would be secure. I remember at work, as a security officer, I became friends with the mail courier and just got the pros and the cons of the job. And it just seemed like something that I can do. So I applied and it just happened. It just worked out for me.
That's
at the right time.
Yeah. So we said 2020, right? So that means it was the beginning of the pandemic. That must have been challenging, right? Obviously coming off of a previous job, but also just the state of the world. I mean, what was your training like at that time?
So the training, it was very detailed. It was very organized. My trainer was excellent. I think she taught me, pretty much everything that I needed to know. So once I got on the street, I was pretty prepared, or so I thought.
Nothing prepares you like when your boots on the ground,
nothing,
right?
Nothing prepares you, really.
So just curious, going back into the pandemic, so you left your previous job and then you're going to work for the Postal Service, but this was at a time where a lot of people were nervous about being outside, nervous about interacting with others. And the one thing that I know about my mail carrier is that they do a lot of traveling throughout the day, a lot of interacting with others. Was there any concerns?
Of course there were. I had just had a baby. My daughter was maybe 6 months at the time. So it was really, really scary, not only going back to work after being home for a year, but working around such intense conditions, going in and out of places that you've never been before, just touching and dealing with things that you've never dealt with and touched before, and just being in close contact with so many people.
Yeah.
But of course, they had the right precautions for us. When we come into the station, they had hand sanitizer, they had masks, they had everything that we needed to be safe. And a few people did catch COVID. Not saying that, you know, they caught it from the post office or that they didn't, but when they did catch it, you know, the post office took the right precautions to protect us, and those people were taken care of also. So I feel pretty safe moving forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's one of those things that we saw across the nation. A lot of entities were, you know, slowing down or shutting down, but the Postal Service, with our mission to the American people, we have to keep going. So just hearing from you that the Postal Service at these levels were really able to provide that sense of security, both tangibly through the form of hand sanitizer, masks, et cetera, but also just, you know, giving you that mental relief of like, okay, they understand how to handle these types of situations in the best way possible. I feel comfortable coming into work. That's great to hear.
Right.
And congratulations on the baby.
Thank you.
I think it'd be interesting to tell people about what it's really like to be a mail carrier. Most people see their mail carriers out on their route, but there's a lot more to the job than that. What time does your day usually start? What do you do before you head out to your route to actually deliver?
Well, my typical day starts at 8:30, and I'm going to speak for myself. I come in, I clock in on the system, on a scanner, and this is your scanner. It stays with you. Like, your scanner is like your work lifeline. You clock in, you clock out, you make your moves.
This is the barcode scanner, right?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
So it's okay. So it serves this other function as well.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. So you clock in on the scanner. And so I'm an unassigned regular, which means I did my 2 years as a CCA, a city courier assistant. And once I turned over, I became regular. But the catchy part is, you turn regular, but you're unassigned because you don't have a assigned route to you. You don't have a route assigned to you.
So I'm thinking something of a floating mail carrier for different routes. I'm thinking something of like a substitute teacher. You go where you're needed that day. Okay.
Right. So what typically happens is you'll report to the supervisor and she'll tell you which route you will be on for the day. They usually give you routes that you're familiar with, you know, so you can get in and out. You can case your mail and you could come back in a timely fashion. You won't be all out there flustered or anything.
I mean, sometimes I get lost driving home. I can't even imagine what it's like to be like, hey, you're going to go spend your entire day running an entirely different route.
Right.
Yeah.
So the area that you work in is called zone. So you have a specific zone. So in the zone, everything is, it's just like, I don't know if you ever been to Disney World, but once you get in Disney World, everything is there. You just have little maps saying Duck City here, Bugs Bunny City here, whatever. So in the zones, it's Columbia Heights or Euclid Street or whatever
smaller neighborhood.
Right.
So Davia, that's great to hear. So we're talking 8:30 is when you scan in. Walk me through a little bit more of what happens throughout that day before you hit the streets.
So you case the mail. That's the fun part. And you get all the mail for the route, all the mail for the entire route, and you case it. And casing means that you put each specific piece of mail in a case by address.
Okay, so I've spent a little bit of time at post offices and plans and whatnot. So for me, casing mail, I'm remembering a large, let's say, a bookshelf, and it's segmented, left to right with the various homes or the various delivery points, and you're truly going through picking up a piece of mail, looking at it, and then slotting it into the appropriate location on this bookshelf, this massive bookshelf,
yep,
for those listeners at home. And that's how you're able to, quote unquote, case your mail. Is that
yes.
correct? Great. So that seems very time intensive.
Yes. And usually it takes, I'll say, maybe an hour to an hour and 30 minutes. But they want you to, once you get familiar with it, it gets easier.
Yeah, I would think, okay, I associate these numbers with, you know, upper left-hand corner of the case, lower right-hand corner, stuff like that. So
it becomes memory.
Gotcha.
Right.
But as a floater,
it's difficult.
Yeah, you're unassigned, so you have no muscle memory. I mean, you've been doing it for a while, so I'm sure you do now that you've been on quite a few routes. But at first, I would imagine that's probably even harder than actually delivering.
Yeah. The casing, to me, is the worst part about the day. That's just me, because like you said, I'm an unassigned regular, so I could come in and she can say, hey, go case route 10.
Yeah.
And I don't know what route 10 is. I've never been on route 10.
Gotcha.
So you go to the case and you want to just, you know, look over it really quickly and try to remember certain things. If it's something that sticks out to you, maybe a store or maybe something that you're familiar with, and you just go from there.
But at the same time, I've got to imagine that if anybody's casing mail, right, and they do something incorrectly, it's going to be their problem down the line once they load it into the truck, right?
Right.
So you want to try and get this stuff done. So it's not like, let's just blast through it, we'll figure it out later. No, it's got to be right.
Right. Because can you imagine you have this large case and then you're looking over it and you're like, okay, I got it. And then you start casing and you realize that you have 12th Place and 12th Street. and you put all the 12th place mail on 12th Street. So now you have to take everything down and start over. That's an extra 30 minutes of your day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And that's if you notice it, right?
Because,
I mean, there's so much going on. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes addresses can be handwritten.
Right.
Sometimes they're typed. Good God, good grief. Okay. That's thank you for walking me through that. So we're talking about how you're a floater, how you're unassigned at the moment. So how does a mail carrier go about getting assigned to a route and sticking with it? Do you have any say in which route you get?
Yeah. There's a bid sheet, and the bid sheet comes out, I want to say, and don't quote me on this, but I want to say like maybe every 3 weeks.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And every bid sheet has open routes. So open routes may be from a courier that retired, or a courier that bid on another route, or something that a courier may have.
For whatever reason,
yeah,
the route's been vacant.
Whatever
right?
reason, the route has been vacant. Thank you.
Okay. So do individuals have to rebid every, let's say, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, whatever the cadence is, right, for that bid sheet to come out? Do you have to rebid, or once you have something, you're locked in until you decide to vacate for whatever reason?
So once you bid and you actually win the bid, you're locked in.
Great.
You're official.
Well, that's good. I hope you get put on a permanent.
Me too.
Yeah, I think it'll make your life a little bit easier.
Yes.
From casing mail to delivery.
Yes.
So obviously your routes are different every day, but let's talk about some averages, right? Once you hit the road, how far do you walk every day? I've always been really curious.
It depends on the route. As for me, I like to park my truck because, of course, we're in a really big truck. You don't want to double park. You don't want to block people parking spaces in. So you want to find a spot that you're comfortable in and go from there. So you may park on 10th and you may have to deliver all the way to 12th. So I just load my satchel up and I'm just walking all day. And sometimes I get off of work and I look at my watch and it's 10 miles.
10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Okay. So let's fast forward to the point where you have successfully bid on a route. You've gotten it. You're locked in. What's the process like if for some reason you wanted to switch to a different route, you wanted a different change of scenery? Walk me through that as well.
So I have a colleague who just bid on a new route after being on a route for, I think she said, 4 years. And she bid on a new route and she won in the same zone, which is amazing and really unheard of.
Okay. So what are the motivations like for doing that? I would think that the consistency of a route is an advantage, right?
Yes. But you have to think about when you bid on a route, you're just trying to bid for consistency, like you said, and you're trying to bid for comfortability, and you want to actually stay in the zone that you actually trained in.
What makes a route better?
So say my original route that I've been on for 4 years may have been 6 hours, and the neighborhoods are great, the customers are great, but every block has steps. Every house that I deliver to has 10 to 12 steps.
Or maybe some massive apartment building has
exactly.
been brought up.
Exactly.
So instead of having a block of single family homes, you're now looking at this massive high rise.
Exactly. And on a route that I had a hold down on, it was perfect. The perfect route for me. And then they started building new developments in the neighborhood. So now I go from this perfect route, and now I have these two buildings that's taking me an hour each. Because you have to think of the mail volume for the buildings.
Yep.
Then you have to think of, this is a new building. People are going to be ordering stuff.
Yeah.
I have delivered a lawnmower before.
What?
Yes.
Must have been can't be a full-size lawnmower. My gosh. Wow. And then we always talk about how, you know, just across the country, the amount of delivery points keep, you know, they keep fluctuating. And generally, they tend to go up in a lot of places. So that impact on the local post office, the impact on our mail carriers, I mean, this is a good example of it. So we bring up a good topic around, you know, the development of neighborhoods, the development of cities, zones, routes, just for the general public. People are moving in, right? More people in an area means more mail, but it also means more packages, as you were alluding to. So what, in your opinion, what is the impact of the packages, right? Because we're talking things that could fit in potentially a satchel if that's what you use, or something that's going to require you to, you know, have only that in your hands and, you know, walking down the sidewalk or walking up to a home, you know, this could be very cumbersome. So walk me through some of that for you.
Packages on a route there make you or break you. It's the packages that the customers want.
Yeah.
They're not chasing you down saying, hey, I'm looking for a piece of mail. They're saying, I need and want my package.
Yeah.
So it's serious when it comes to packages, and it's all about the volume. The volume of the packages is what's going to determine your day on a specific route. There has been routes that I've done, and the packages on my truck has been over 400.
400 on a single day?
Yes.
Over?
Yes.
Oh, are we talking this is like holiday season?
No.
Oh, no. A normal day.
So let's talk about pandemic.
Please.
During a pandemic, there were times when I delivered a truck full of packages and had to go back to the station and deliver another truck of packages. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One building can take up half of your truck.
So, Davida, that's all really interesting. I've got another question, right? So I'm sure mail carriers, you know, like everybody else, we decide to get up and move, right? Let's say you and your family decide to move to a different area. What's the process like? Do you have to reapply to a specific post office? Is there internal transfer programs? Do you have to rebid? What's all that like?
So I don't know the specifics, but I do know that you can transfer to any post office anywhere. So if I decided that I wanted to move to Philadelphia to be closer to family, that's doable.
That's fantastic. That's a huge upside.
It is.
I did not know about that. I thought it would have been a lot more, you know, laborious to try and move locations. But that sounds, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's a process, and I'm sure that there are steps that we're missing. But it's good to know that something's there, something's figured out.
Right. That's a huge win for the post office.
Absolutely. Personally, I'd like to go to Anchorage.
Huh.
I think Alaska could be cool.
Cold.
Cold, maybe Hawaii.
Right. You don't want to deliver mail in Alaska, I'm sure.
No, I do not. I think we've been focusing a lot, at least myself, in the mental picture that I've been putting together for myself as we've been talking. I've been thinking of residential houses, right? I've been thinking of the single family homes, townhomes, the high rises that we touched on. So I want to touch a little bit on businesses, right?
Okay.
Because I would imagine that, you know, based upon the business type, the business size, what they do, it's got to present a unique challenge. So is it more difficult or easier to work with a business because they're a bit more informed as to, you know, what goes into mailing and receiving? Or is it more challenging because perhaps they have a lot more volume?
Businesses are important because they get a lot of important mail. The route that I'm on right now has, I believe, 4 streets of businesses. And some of the businesses are real estate agencies, mm-hmm. dentist office, jewelry stores. And say, like, with the real estate agency, or I have a law firm on it, there's a lot of important mail.
Absolutely.
And this is not mail that you can just put in the mailbox.
We're talking signatures.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And if the person is not there to receive it, guess what? You got to take it back and you got to deliver it the next day. If they're not there the next day, then you got to leave a notice. So it's a lot with doing businesses.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about that customer interaction. What are the customers on your routes like?
Amazing.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Like, I never really noticed how much people need us as mail couriers. They become your friend.
So there's a lot of interaction.
Yeah, it's a lot of interaction. Like, sometimes I'll go to buildings and they'll be waiting for me.
No, that's great.
Yeah, like, I knew you were coming. You're a little late today, or oh, you're early today.
Oh, gosh, the accountability.
Right. And sometimes it's not about the mail or the package. It's just really, they'll say, oh, you know, you seemed different yesterday. I just wanted to check on you. And that means a lot.
So now that you've been in the position for, you know, over 2 years, right? You joined back in 2020. We talked about the training and how, you know, you made the joke that the individual who trained you as well as she could, prepared you really, really well until you hit the street, right? Because then there's things that you learn on the job. So my next question is, you know, how does the reality of being a mail carrier compare to those expectations you had before?
That's a really great question.
Thank you.
I think when you're out there with your trainer, you're saying, you know, this is easy. I can do this. Like, it's, you know, we're moving through it.
Yeah.
I got through the day, no problems. You know, everybody was friendly. I didn't have any issues with anything. That's with a trainer. And then your training is over and they tell you the route you're on, and then you get out there and you like, shoot.
It's overwhelming at times,
yes,
right? Because you're by yourself.
It's very overwhelming. Exactly.
It's just you, the truck, the mail.
Exactly. It's the anxiety of making sure that you deliver everything. Making sure that you deliver everything correctly. Making sure that you're doing it in a timely manner. That you get back. Number one is safety.
Agreed.
I've never driven in a truck before. So
what kind of truck are you usually driving on your routes? I'm curious.
We drive the ProMaster.
Okay.
But I'm really excited. I was really happy to know that I was driving a ProMaster, because then they have the LVs.
Yep.
And you're driving on the opposite side.
Yep, the LLVs.
Exactly. And I didn't want anything to do with that.
When I was back in 2012, I had the opportunity to actually participate in driving school for the post office, and putting me behind the wheel of an LLV with, I think, 7 different mirrors at the time on the other side of the vehicle, it was challenging. So I'm glad to know you're in a ProMaster.
Exactly.
So all of this sounds like a lot of hard work and, frankly, a big responsibility, as we both know. What do you like about the job, and what keeps you coming back every day?
I love the fact that you become family with the people that you work with. I love the fact that there's no days where you have to do it alone. Anything that you need, they make it available to you.
That is great to hear, considering the fact that in my mind, you kind of are alone, right? You're physically alone when you're on your route, unless when you're casing mail. So tell me a little bit more about the dynamics of the post office.
So you're physically alone, yes, when you're on your route, but just knowing that you have that support. Like, so my mom passed around Christmas holiday last year.
I am so sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And it was a major, major blow to me. And I didn't know, you know, how I would be able to grieve and continue to do this job, because it's such a strenuous job.
Yeah.
In actuality, it really is. It's a job where you need all of your senses at its heightened level. But the people that I work with was just simply amazing. The emotional support, just the cards and
the well wishes.
Yeah. And I had a few couriers, you know, just coming over, just checking on me, and they send things. And because I'm new, I really don't have a lot of leave accumulated.
Okay.
So I exhausted all of my leave.
God.
And there were couriers that donated leave to me so that
they gave you their time off.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's just like, yeah, I'm at home grieving, but it's like I want to get back to work to be around the people that I know, you know, that really care for me and, you know, that love me. Not saying that my family don't at home, but
yeah,
I know
it's different, though.
Yeah. Eventually I have to get back to work. I have to, you know, get back out into the world. And they made it really easy for me to transition from, you know, that process of my life, because that's major.
Great.
I don't know if you heard any negative things about the post office, but what they don't tell you is, like I said, these people become your actual family. You spend more time with them than you do the family that you're given. So
yeah.
It was just a great feeling to know they got my back.
It is. This is a side of the post office that I don't think a lot of people
exactly
get to see. And I'm really happy. Thank you for sharing that with
us. No, I'm glad to share, because like I said, this is the stuff that people don't see. Like, I didn't even know that leave donations was a thing. And then I come to work and they like, yeah, we're going to donate leave. And I'm like, what's that? So yeah, it's amazing. And it wasn't just like 2 hours, 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
they gave you enough to, right, to finish the grieving,
right,
and still feel supported.
Right. Cause you know, you need time. You need the days, you know, right after it happened, the time for the funeral, just
I chuckle, DeVita, but I'm thinking that that's the postal equivalent of bringing over a casserole. You know what I mean? Like this idea that
exactly.
when somebody has a downturn in their life, you know, the thing is bring food. Well, for the post office, it's, hey, let's donate some leave. Let's take something off their plate. So,
but they did bring food too.
You got the best of both worlds.
Yeah, got the best of both worlds. And it was just around the busiest time of the season, the busiest time of the post office year. And it's just like, they didn't forget. And it's roughly 60 people on his own. So me being new, and then you have people that's been there for 20 years, I'm easy to fall through the cracks, but they didn't forget. And yeah, that's a part that'll always stay with me with my post office memories.
That is incredible. So DeVita, again, thank you for sharing everything about your journey so far with the Postal Service. I've got a question and you know, maybe you're prepared to answer it. Maybe you're still focused on what you're doing today. But what's the future for DeVita and the Postal Service? What do you want to do long term, or is this where you'd like to be for the short term?
I love your questions. Future for DeVita with the Post Office. I would like to move up and become a supervisor.
Fantastic.
There's no ends with the Post Office. They teach you that in training before you even hit the street. You can do anything in a post office. So I think my next step would be getting behind a desk, and hopefully I can influence new incoming couriers. You know how my supervisors encourage and influence me, like, you know, you can do this. If you ever get tired of courier mail, which most people don't, because it's very gratifying.
I mean, it's got to be, you know, it's got to take its toll on the body, though, right? I mean, you're talking 10 miles a day,
it does.
All different types of gradients. Oh,
it does.
My gosh.
But you get your body gets used to it. Like, I think we had like a 18 degree day. And my customers are like, it's freezing out. And I'm like, it's okay.
Once you get moving, the muscles start moving, you warm up.
Right. I'm like, it's okay. It's not bad. And they're just like, oh, we appreciate you. So it's like you get the tough skin for it. And if you love what you do, it's no limit to anything, and nothing can stop you.
Absolutely. No, well said. And I look forward to hearing about your future movement within the Postal Service.
Thank you.
I think with a perspective like this, the sky's the limit.
Thank you. Yeah, I like that.
DeVita, thank you so much for joining us today on the Mail In It podcast. This was fantastic to hear much more about a day in the life of a mail carrier.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
All right, everyone, it's time for Did You Know? This is a chance to share some interesting details about the Postal Service that most people probably don't know. We've all heard that some postage stamps are really valuable to collectors, but did you know that for a brief time, stamps were actually used as legal U.S. currency? After the Civil War broke out in 1861, economic troubles drove people in the Union to hoard coins. As small change disappeared, it made it more and more difficult for people to transact everyday business. That led residents in the North to use postage stamps as change. The practice became so common that in July of 1862, President Lincoln signed the Postage Currency Act into law, making it legal. A month later, the government issued special postage currency, which featured reproductions of stamps on larger, thicker paper. This went on for quite a while during the early part of the war. A year later, the stamp designs were shelved and the paper coin replacements became known simply as fractional currency. Postage and fractional currency remained in use until 1876, when Congress authorized the minting of fractional silver coins to redeem the fractional currency still in circulation. Well, that wraps up this installment of Did You Know? That's all for today's episode of Mailin' It. We had the opportunity to sit down with Davita Lawrence and discuss a day in the life of a mail carrier. Don't forget to subscribe to Mailin' It wherever you get your podcast to make sure you don't miss the next episode. And follow along on Instagram @US Postal Service, Twitter @USPS, and on Facebook.